Well, I got a surprise. When I was on the way up here, well, before I left the house, man that works for me said, you getting all dressed up and going up, you going to preach? I said, no, I ain't got to worry about that. I'm sure I won't have to worry about that. I pull up out in the yard and start seeing all these preachers come up, man. I said, I know I ain't got to worry about that. Well, I just got taught a lesson. Kind of hard to get the Spirit on your mind, and I'm glad to be able to not be the first, but having to come up through here and come up through all that traffic in Atlanta traffic, that's kind of rough. Hopefully, won't be as this preacher that, in fact, that friend of mine was just telling me, told me about. So he'd been preaching about 40 years, and when he first started preaching, his wife had a basket over here and had it covered up and said, whatever you do, don't look in that basket. Well, after about 40 years, he finally goes over there, and he couldn't stand it no longer, and he walks by and kicks the basket, and it falls over, and out rolls 3 eggs and a bunch of money. And he was puzzled. He said, you know, why? What's those 3 eggs for? So he finally asked his wife and said, honey, I got to confess. I just couldn't stand it no longer. I had to kick that basket over, and those 3 eggs fell out. And he said, what in the world was those 3 eggs for? He said, well, every time you preached a bad sermon, I put 3 eggs in there. I put an egg in. And he only saw 3 eggs. So he said, well, I've been doing pretty good. I only got 3 eggs in there after 40 years of preaching. He said, well, what was all the money for? She said, every time I got a dozen, I sold one. So if y'all will pray for me while I'm before you, then an instant of prayers for what time before you that maybe we won't lay an egg. I'd like to look at a scripture in 2 Timothy 2:10. One of my favorite scriptures, one of the first ones I memorized in a Bible that I had found in a house that I was cleaning out, cousin's house. It was a rental house, and there was left just a little bit of stuff in there. There was a toolbox in there, and there was a King James Bible in there, and that's the first Bible I started reading. And I don't think they left it behind. I think the Lord left it there for me, for me to start doing what I should be doing, is reading the Bible. But in this 2 Timothy 2:10, it says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also attain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And when I first read that and come across that, I said, well, that's the perfect text to prove the old Baptist, what I've always heard and come up through, about there being an eternal salvation that we will enjoy one day eternally, but there's also a salvation that we enjoy down here. And it's the perfect text for that. And I don't see how you cannot see that with this text, that there's a not only an eternal salvation to enjoy, but a salvation here in this life. The salvation that Brother Dolph Painter was talking about, by being the type of people we ought to be, being the type of Baptist we ought to be. And that's great to know. It's great to understand that we have a home in glory that's not based on anything we do down here. That home in glory is secure. That it's there. But up in the 7th verse it says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. The Apostle Paul is saying, I'm writing this letter, and I want you to consider it. But the Lord has got to give you the understanding. In the 16th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus comes to his disciples and he asks him, whom do men say the Son of Man am? Well, some said they're Jeremiah, some say Elijah, some say one of the prophets. And then he asked Peter, asked his disciples, said, but whom do ye say that I am? Now Peter spoke up real quick, like he normally does, but this time he hit the nail right on the head. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And if you read on down a little bit later, remember that where it is, he makes that same quote again. Thou art the Christ. He said, we know that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But he made a true statement there. And then Jesus says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed us unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. That's how we know about Jesus Christ. That's how we're here. That's how we're able to enjoy this, because God has to show it to us. We have to be blessed. And we are blessed. And I think sometimes we may lose sight of that, as to how blessed we are to know what we know. Now, a lot of times we want to take out the sledgehammer when we start talking about election and predestination and hit the people over the head with it. But why we want to do that? They've got to be shown it. They've got to be shown that. Pulling out that sledgehammer is not going to get it in there. We need to be kind toward them. We need to respond to them in a kind way. Not just we're going to prove them right, prove us right and them wrong, because you can't do that. They don't know. It has to be shown to them. In Ephesians, first chapter, 16th verse, Apostle Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention in my prayers always, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of his glory in his inheritance in the saints. God has to show that to us. It's what the church is built on. When he says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood is not revealed unto you, but my Father which is in heaven, and upon this, and thou art Peter, and upon this rock. Now you got one denomination that's built their church on Peter, the Pope. The Pope is who the church is built on. I'm trying to be nice. My son just married a Catholic girl. Great girl, wonderful girl. But she's Catholic and about Catholic. And I'm afraid I lost him because she wanted to have a sanctified marriage. Somewhere along the line, he wound up going. I don't know. He first said he wouldn't be converted, but he wound up getting converted. And then I had to go to a Catholic funeral a little while back. Had to sit there and listen to 60 Hail Marys, Mother of God, and all the rest they say. It was a rosary they called it, was at a funeral. They have a knowledge of God, but they don't have the truth that we have. And I asked my son, I said, they claim to be the original church that Christ set up. I said, then why don't they practice the first ordinance of the church? And that's baptism. They don't baptize anybody. The word baptism means to be immersed. Actually, the word means to be, Greek word means to be completely wet. I don't know how you get completely wet and have to go under the water. So it's merged, same thing. But they don't practice that. But it said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock. Thou art Peter, That Greek word is means a little stone. The Greek word he uses, and upon the rock that I build my church on, is a big rock. A big rock, a cliff. That's the foundation I'm going to build my church on, is Jesus Christ revealed. Jesus Christ revealed. Him revealing to us who he is. He has got to reveal us to who he is. Now, does that mean you can't know anything about God without Jesus being revealed? In Romans, the first chapter, 20th verse, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." There's a movement in this world, in this country, to do away with God in everything that he has to do with it. Do away with the church, trying to remove the church from this country. Trying to take God out of everything. They are without excuse trying to do that. They change the truth of God into a lie because they worship the creature more than the creator. You can't look out here in nature at all and deny God. You cannot look out here in nature and not see God everywhere. God's in the creation everywhere. Just look at the intricate detail of nature. The intricate detail of the body of man. You can't deny God. From that standpoint, is to that this earth was created by a creator. A creator that took nothing, made something, hung it on nothing, and made it stay there. Amen. I mean, what kind of a creator that beyond our imagination? We can't understand it. We can't understand how, and that just happened. That just happened by an explosion. I've never seen an explosion that didn't create chaos. It doesn't create organization. But we're blessed that we see. Not only that we see who God is, that we see who Jesus Christ is, we see how he saves us. That he saved us by his grace and not by anything we have to do. Not by anything that we do. But not only that, back in Timothy, Apostle Paul says, back in 7th verse, says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was given by revelation to Apostle Paul. He didn't have the Bible to refer to. God give it to him. "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." We're bound because we're men. But the word of God is not bound. It's not bound whatsoever. And it's not diminished by man's hands translating it. It says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Without him, there was nothing made that was made." God's been there from the beginning, and he's here now. He's been here the whole time. And that Word, this Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. There's nothing lost in this Word. Now, men has translated it and come up with their opinion. All these translations are not translations, all these versions. And there's men's versions of what they think the King James translation says. But that's what we've got to remember. They're just versions. And even to the point of omitting things and leaving things out and all that's another story. Apostle Paul says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer under the bonds of God, the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I've always looked at that part of it, and I really miss what he was really saying in the first part of that. Apostle Paul said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation that's in Christ Jesus. What are we enduring? What are we doing? In Ephesians, it says we're made to get, in a little down below, second, third verse, it says we're made to sit together in heavenly places, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. That's what we're getting to see now. We're sitting in heavenly places right now. Yeah, we'll sit there eternally one day, but we also get to sit in these heavenly places here in the church. Amen. And in conversation with people out there in the kingdom. We get to sit in these heavenly places, for we are saved by grace through faith, and not that of yourselves. It's not anything you got to do with it. It is a gift of God. That gift that he gives us, we're blessed by that gift. In other words, lest any man should boast. For, see, we want to quote those two, but we want to forget the one right behind it. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that God had ordained these good works that we should walk in them. That's what the Apostle Paul was doing. He was enduring all the things, all the shipwreck, all the troubles, imprisonment, all the things that he was enduring. He was enduring to get a place in heaven? To get a higher level in heaven? No. For the elect's sake, for the children of God's sake, that has been blessed to see and understand these things. Doing it for their sake, that they may obtain this knowledge, be blessed with this knowledge, and understand it, and know what is the hope of glory in God, in Jesus Christ. Y'all will give God all the honor and glory if you got anything out of what we have to say.